Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. This is Dr. Kate. Glad to be joining you this evening amidst this chaos and turmoil that we see going around us. I'd first like to start out with a heartfelt prayer and blessings and safe journey for all of the innocent people that have been killed by this murderous regime known as the Obama administration, and by the murderous Muslim Brotherhood, and all of the cabal that is orchestrating events to throw us into turmoil. I would like to offer a prayer for all of those who have suffered this loss. And I will start with this: even so, come, Lord Jesus. Good evening, everyone. This is going to be an interesting show as I try to calm down from the events of the day and try to discern what we're seeing and what is going on. It's very difficult to know anything because the media is of course not telling us the truth. The administration's not telling us the truth. We have really only our God in heaven to rely on and to check everything that's happening with Scripture at this point. So what we know out there right now is all this chaos and confusion, and once again, our ears and eyes and hearts are turned overseas. And I want to just point out some of the convenient things that have been ignored by this recent event of the killing of the U.S. ambassador in Libya and the attack on the U.S. embassy in Egypt and the consequent apology of our government for offending Muslims with some film. We have to see all of this as a setup. But let me remind you of the things that are conveniently ignored. 9/11. And the increasing understanding that we have that what we were told, what 9/11 was, is not the truth. That, in fact, the terrorism on our own shore is in part brought to us by our own government. We have been asleep. And if we think it's just the government that's ignored the Constitution, we've got to take our own responsibility for not requiring our officials to live up to the Constitution. But 9/11... and the consequences, and Obama again standing at ground zero, this time without his hateful wife. So we have that. The disastrous Democrats National Convention, in which they closed out a tribute to our troops by showing a series of Russian Navy vessels, and where they removed God and got him back in, and where the whole crowd booed course, we were told they were booing at the process, but no, they were booing at God. And the day after the convention, Obama, of course, says, I'll be damned if any of this other events go on. Well, they are damned. And it was the worst attended convention in the history of the Democrat Party. And I think they sealed their own fate and so forth. Now, what's the next thing that's coming out? Once again, Obama's ineligibility. Romney made a joke about it, but they are making overtures to talk about the foreign influence that is now in our White House and so forth. And what else has just come out? Obama is completely gay. And Michelle is a beard. Well, that's the first solid description I've ever heard of Michelle, which sort of describes her physical physique as well, as a beard, as a cover. But remember what we've got here. Now, my own personal view is gayness and all of that is a matter of your personal discussion with your maker. And I don't believe it belongs anywhere else in the national dialogue. I don't think it's appropriate at all. But it, of course, is being used as an issue. But look at the story that came out about Obama being gay. And remember who was killed, who was the first message. Everybody in Chicago knew he was gay. And the entire gay community was shocked that he was able to become president because they thought for sure he wouldn't be able to hide his gayness. Well, what happened? Donald Young, his lover, was murdered. And a couple of other people disappeared as well. So the chill went down in the Chicago gay community to not say anything about Obama's gayness as what would happen. Now, Obama has used murder to chill everybody else too, Andrew Breitbart, Hillary Clinton delegates, numerous other people, soldiers, SEAL Team 6, murder is basically shut up about Obama or this is what happens to you. So he's using murder. Can his fingers be traced to that? No, of course not. But it's not a coincidence anymore. So with these three big things, 9/11, Obama's ineligibility, and that Romney's getting on it, not as much as we'd like him to, of course. And Romney's another story, by the way, which I have lots to talk about. And then Obama's gayness. All of these three things that are huge stories that we should be focusing on in our own country all of a sudden are literally blown out of the water by the attack on the U.S. Embassy. Now, I was just chatting with a friend of mine over the internet, and some of the questions, some of the main issues is, number one, we really don't know what is happening. Supposedly, these demonstrations were made in response to a film that was disrespectful of Muhammad. Okay, who made the film? And was that a setup, too? So, you know, Islamic people, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood cannot take free speech, obviously. I mean, they're the most thin-skinned people in the world. They get their feelings hurt with a film. But you've got to understand that Obama's got to create chaos and mayhem to hide his illegality and hide the other things that are going on. So anyway, the film and protests and then the attack on the Egyptian embassy, where both Clinton and the ambassador in Egypt apologized to Muslims for hurting their feelings. Like I say, you know, grow a skin, guys. You know, they can't handle it. I bet you they couldn't handle an American woman, by the way. And if I'm insulting, yeah, I'm intending to do so. Then in Libya, well, let's go back to Egypt just for a second. Now, the spring, the quote-unquote Arab Spring, was funded by and cajoled by the United States. And who got in charge was the Muslim Brotherhood, who is Hillary Clinton's, right-hand woman, is a Muslim Brotherhood member. I guess must be honorary because women are dirt in the Muslim community and are used as chattel and so forth. So, of course, you know, are gay people accepted in the Muslim community? No, they're killed. And so you can begin to see what is going on here. Obama's definitely got to cover up this story that's coming out. Otherwise, he'll be over and over here having his head. So in any case, Obama, because he is ineligible, used our tax dollars to go over and murder people in Egypt and and overthrow a dictator, overthrow the head of that government. The same with Libya. In Libya, what happened was the U.S. ambassador was killed over protests over this film. But as my friend astutely observed, who killed him? Where were the Marines? Did the CIA kill him? What is going on in Libya? In Libya, that's where Obama made war against them and against the wishes of the American people, and it was illegal. Not only is Obama illegal, but he used our tax dollars and our military and put our people in harm's way to once again kill a bunch of people and allowed the murder of Muammar Gaddafi, which he owns. Of, you know, how those videos all disappeared, because who's over there helping it? Americans, the CIA, and so forth. So what happened in Libya? Why did they have to overthrow him? It's because Muammar Gaddafi was beginning to use gold, and he also was not accepting any kind of central bank. Aha, the central banks and the cartels. So he had to be overthrown. What was this ambassador's role in setting up the central bank or in approving the overthrow of Gaddafi? And did he have to be eliminated by the CIA under the guise false flag? Remember what a false flag is that something has happened and somebody else's flag is waving over there to disguise who the real culprits were. So I can't help but look at the picture of Obama and Clinton hugging the widow of the ambassador, and none of it looks sincere to me at all. And so, again, everybody's apologizing. The U.S. embassy and staff are evacuated from Libya. And what do we have here? Obama promises retaliation. Against who? For what? The Libyan security forces allowed this to happen. Clinton actually outright lies and says that, you know, we thank the Libyan security forces for taking the ambassador's body to the hospital. Well, hello, if they dragged him through the street. Anyone see the video before it was removed from the net? So, of course, what do we have going on again? Let's go back home. The senators, Feinstein and others, are asking for Obama to seize the internet right now. Why? Because of the disastrous national convention, because of Obama's gayness and his basic lies and his ineligibility. And I know I'm being very focused here, but that has always been the point. Why did he kill bin Laden again? Why did he kill bin Laden's corpse again? Remember what happened when that happened? That was when Corsi came out with his book and when the fake birth certificate was put up, the one that's now been proved to be an absolute complete forgery. So there, we do not know what is going on. Hi, Tenacity in the chat room. We do not know what is going on. And chaos and confusion are reigning, so the only thing we can relate to that is who is the god of confusion? That's Satan. Who are the actors here? A lot of this has to do with the central banking, with gold, with the CIA. Where's the military? Where is Patriots? He's really doing the CIA's job right now for them, isn't he? And Where's Leon Panetta? So, you know, if you read Lame Cherry today, he's got, I think, the correct perspective on this. And this is all Obama's doing. We look at retaliation, and Obama has no authority to order any kind of retaliation. But we're furious about the murder of Americans and the attacking of our embassy, so we have to go after it. Now, here we have now what begins to seem to me to be a concerted disinformation effort. We have the Wall Street Insider coming out today, Ulsterman, with another report about the whispers between Benjamin Netanyahu and Obama. And Obama doesn't want any attack on Iran, mainly because Jared, of course, is from Iran, but because of his election woes, and the generals are distancing themselves from Israel's attack on Iran. Of course, the Navy, remember, the Navy SEAL book came out, a book has come out on the raid that quote-unquote killed, quote-unquote, bin Laden again. And, you know, that's receiving a lot of attention. But all of these things that are attempting to tell us the truth about Obama are being drowned out now by international affairs. We see the bankers, we see Obama, we see Department of Homeland Security, we see the FBI, Department of Justice, Secretary of State Clinton, all taking part in the greatest sham ever against the American people. So it becomes a major struggle to discern and to keep focused on where we should be focused, which is right here. We have an upcoming election. Right here, we have an illegal usurper. We have an illegal and a usurper in the White House who has spent our money, who is on a murderous rampage to murder America, and on a rampage to apparently set the world up for everybody else as well. In any case, we should be focused here. Now, I'm pretty upset because here we have now, again, the focused misinformation. The Wall Street Insider comes out. Alex Jones is focusing on, well, was the ambassador lynched or was he shot? Hello? And Department of Homeland Security is now beginning to warn that the Iranians and the Muslim Brotherhood are setting up an axis of power. Well, since when has Department of, quote, Homeland Security weighed in on international matters? And hello, Homeland Security is loaded with Muslim Brotherhood members. Same with the White House, same with the State Department, same with the Justice Department. They're all in there in high places. Obama is spending our money and importing boatloads of radical Muslims to America who are now get their feelings hurt. Well, you know what? It hurts my feelings to see somebody, you know, wearing a burqa in America. And even in Tucson, Arizona, you see people walking around in those things, you know, in the heat of the day. And, you know, but do I go on a rampage because my feelings are hurt? No. I drive on by. I shake my head. And but the Muslims can't, you know, I get frustrated, but also this is part of, you know, the whole communist takeover of which the Muslim Brotherhood communists are about, which is to criminalize free speech and to be offended by anything that is remotely related to anything about their religion or their dress or anything like that. And so that engenders, that's engendering inside America, mistrust and hatred of people who are Muslim. Now, I know various people who are Muslim who work in a place near where I work, and I can see these older people looking at these Muslim women wearing their headdress, their hijab, with some suspicion. What are we supposed to do with this? See how this is creating havoc in America. Remember, Obama's ineligible. We're facing another election. People are on that. Obama is now fully gay, and his tactics have been exposed as he murders people who dare to say anything as an example to everybody else. It's a chilling effect. And we had 9/11, which we now all pretty much know the government, our own government, was involved in this, and this was a controlled demolition. It's all kind of deception around 9/11. This is reminiscent of Tavistock, which uses traumatized citizenry to achieve its own means. It's a chilling effect. And what we see is something being set up. If you read Lame Cherry, you can see that we are being set up for some huge event here in the United States, something much bigger than the Aurora shooting or the Fort Hood shooting. Notice all of those things that have happened. Oh, by the way, the father of the supposed criminal in the Aurora shooting was about to give testimony to Congress on the LIBOR rate, which has to do with the banks and the central banks and so forth. So he's about to give testimony, and what happens? His son is framed for murder. So we have a lot going on right now, and I'm going to take just a short break. Oh, good, there's Tenacity. There you are, Terry. Hi. Are you there? Maybe you have yourself on mute. Well, let's see what we've got here. Okay. Typing in chat. He's muted. All right, let's get this straightened out with my possible co-host tonight. I'm going to play a song that lasts about 5 minutes or so, Amazing Grace, and it's from the movie Endless War. So bear with me for a few minutes. Please come back. We are talking tonight about the events of the world and how they're covering up the incredible mess that's in America right now, that's all planned. And the media swooping in with tremendous misinformation such that we don't know what is going on. I'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you. Welcome back to Revolution Radio. That was Amazing Grace from the movie Endless War, about the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, the wars. We've been talking about basically the incredible engineering of diversions that has been going on with the Obama administration. Anytime we get close to uncovering government misbehavior, government treason, the control of our system by the bankers, the international financiers, the manufacturing of foreign events, we're in for it. And if you think this is as bad as it's going to get, it's not. We are, in fact, in a spiritual war. We are facing wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual battle. Satan is totally involved. How else do you explain the wholesale ignorance of our entire government, of the crimes that they are committing, of the crimes of Obama? How else do you cover that? You know, Boehner being sloshed on the, you know, just a drunk. You know, none of the Republicans dealing with these issues. You know, I certainly like Alan West, but, gee, we have nobody really addressing Obama's ineligibility because they're all involved. And this is something that's way beyond our control, it seems like, right now, unless we fully take over. Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's what we've got going on, folks. We've got all these diversions going on. We've got Nibiru supposedly going to crash into the earth. Didn't it already pass by? I think it has already passed by. What's happened? We are looking up to the skies for some planet. We should be looking to the skies, for he will be seen when he returns by all. We have all the signs of the end times coming. We have Agenda 21 being basically those people who have been captured by Satan's vision. Remember, Satan tempted Christ by promising him the world and all the glories and the riches if they would just follow him. Well, who's following Satan right now? That's a very serious issue that we're dealing with right now. In the show Walls in Our Minds, which is on tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 8 Pacific time, we've been talking about the great falling away that has already happened, and the churches and education and abortion. And all of these things are just the sign, just the signs. Now, I'd like to read for you just some more examples of how Obama is anti-Christ. he may not be the Antichrist, as you will, as a one person, but he's definitely somebody who is Antichrist. Here are 10 quotes about by Barack Obama about Christianity that I'd like you to hone in on tonight. Number one, whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. Quote number two, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation. Remember, this is coming from an apostate, a Muslim apostate, usurper, ineligible person occupying the White House. We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation. How could we have allowed that man to get in the White House to so denigrate us? So what are we doing? We're talking on the radio, like me. We're not doing anything about this. We're letting him constantly degrade us. Here's statement number three. Which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith. Quote number four, even those who claim the Bible's inerrancy make distinctions between scriptural edicts, sensing that some passages, the Ten Commandments, say, or a belief in Christ's divinity, are central to the Christian faith, while others are more culturally specific and may be modified to accommodate modern life, like being gay. You know, where is the role of morality? Where is the role of our discussions? Okay. Here's quote number five. The American people intuitively understand this, which is why the majority of Catholics practice birth control, and some of those opposed to gay marriage nevertheless are opposed to a constitutional amendment to ban it. Religious leadership need not accept such wisdom in counseling their flocks, but they should recognize this wisdom in their politics. Quote number seven, I find it hard to believe that my God would consign 4/5 of the world to hell. I can't imagine that my God would allow some little Hindu kid in China, in India, who never interacts with the Christian faith to somehow burn for all eternity. That's just not part of my religious makeup. Number eight, those opposed to abortion cannot simply invoke God's will. They have to explain why abortion violates some principle that is accessible to people of all faiths. So, okay, so murder is okay according to what faith? Islam? Let's hear, in contrast, some quotes of Obama on the Muslim faith. Remember that he is the one there you go, Tenacity. I've got you on live. Are you there? Tenacity.
Me?
Yes, very good. Hi there.
Good evening.
Good evening. So, you know, I'm just filling the time here with abominable quotes by Obama. And I just wanted to read a few, and then I'd really like to get into a discussion with you. Maybe you've heard most of the show so far. But here, let me read these first few quotes. Number one, Islam has always been a part of America. Number two, we will encourage more Americans to study in Muslim communities. Number three, these rituals remind us of the principles we hold in common and Islam's role in advancing justice, progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. Mm-hmm. Number four, America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. So I believe this is kind of a big issue. So, Terry, do you have any comments on what we've been talking about so far? I was able to take your dialogue with me on Skype and turn that into legitimate questions about what we're being told about what just happened in the Middle East. But I've also been reminding everybody what things have to be covered up here on the homeland in order for these things to be going on elsewhere to distract us from Obama's ineligibility, 9/11 and the government's role, a number of other issues. So perhaps you could give my voice a break and give the listeners a break in that regard and let me know what's on your mind today.
Well, I'm afraid that I was shutting down my computer and turning it back on in order to get my headset reset. But at any rate, you made a comment. It wasn't your comment. You quoted a comment about Islam always being a part of America. Well, what's been a part of the United States since before its inception, but here in this land, let's say, on this continent, was religious freedom. That was one of the things that was being fought for, were unalienable rights and our ability to worship in whatever way we see fit without being told by a government to do so. Now, anybody who's at all familiar with Islam knows full well that religious freedom has nothing to do with it. The two are absolutely in opposition with each other. So his statement, you know, for the first thing I'd have to say about his statement is, what does he mean by that? Does he mean that there's always been Islamic people here since the inception of this country? Well, that's undeniable. There, you know, there's been all sorts of various faiths and lack of faith, and you know, every piece of the spectrum has been covered here. But our country is based on religious freedom, and Islam is not. So his statement is absolutely false, just on that point alone. So I mean, beyond that, you have to ask, what's he talking about? I mean, it's gobbledygook as far as I'm concerned. It's like his comments are like, you know, I don't know where he's been or where he grew up or what country he's talking about, but it's not the one that I grew up in or the one that our founders created or, you know, initiated. You have feedback to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely correct, including asking the basic question, what does he mean by this, by that particular statement? And, you know, at the time he made that, I'm sure he was still riding high on his being, you know, as, you know, just the magic guy who got into the White House and so forth, and kind of trying to preach a religious tolerance, but not really, because it has no foundation. Then he goes on to say, of course, about Islam, America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. Where does that come from?
Well, you know, again, it's an attempt to delude understanding of what this country is about. Is our country in competition with any religious belief or faith? Our principles, our basic principles, are those of the Scripture of the Holy Bible, of the Ten Commandments, etc. Principles of not interfering with other people, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a basic principle of how our laws and common law was established. So you look at Islam and you recognize that that's not what it teaches. It teaches something completely different. It teaches that you should kill people who don't believe the way you do.
So what comes to mind for me in terms of Obama and comparing him, you know, as I'm likely to do these days with Scripture, is lying wonders. Basically, he's just one big flying, lying wonder. Because these words, as you say, are designed to deceive and to dilute. And what falls on people's ears and what comes through loud and clear is, for me, is Obama apologizing for our Christian principles and diluting them and saying they're the same as the Islamic principles. But you see, how do we get from this delusion or this diluting to a place where our embassies and this guy in the White House apologize for who we are? Also, I said quite a bit about, you know, the Muslims needing to grow some thick skin here, because if they're so offended by, you know, any statement that points out the fallacies.
Well, it's really insanity.
It's completely insanity.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm just thinking that we could end the show on that. It's just insanity.
Well, it is. It's truly insane.
These
people have been brain-soiled to the point of being totally reactionary. They're looking for something to stir the pot with. In other words, it goes beyond logic. It certainly is in opposition to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you see what I mean about that? There's a total lack of forgiveness. You've heard me talk before about there's a fellow by the name of Robert Siemens, I think, that wrote the book back around 1990 called Healing the Emotions Within. And in that book, he made a claim that at first I didn't accept, because it was one of those all-inclusive kind of things. And I, you know, you just immediately kind of reject them because they're, you know, it's all-inclusive, and nothing's all-inclusive, at least, you know, generally it's not. So his claim was this, and that is at the root of all human mental dysfunction, and I'm summarizing, I'm not quoting, but at the root of all human mental dysfunction is one of two things, either the inability to forgive self or the inability to forgive others. In other words, forgiveness is at the basis of all human mental dysfunction. Well, think about these, you know, Muslims. They have absolute no forgiveness whatsoever for anybody. They're completely intolerant of anybody who believes something other than what the Quran teaches or their radical clerics teach. So they're totally without forgiveness of anybody else. So that puts them in a position, in my mind, according to what Seaman said, and I've come to accept his all-inclusive statement. But I believe that they are completely dysfunctional, and to the extent that they are insane.
And this flies in the face of the statement that all of Islam is for the dignity of all people, which is not true at all. So again, these are just lying. This is just a complete lie designed to deceive.
Yes. It is absolutely designed to deceive.
And to stifle and to produce guilt. You know, to produce guilt. And so, you know, how quickly, in response to this film, I was raising the possibility that this film that they're screaming about now was also a setup done to inflame, you know, particularly for an event like this to happen. But when you get to that place and the Muslims have hurt feelings, you know, instead of you know, getting a clue and slapping them upside the head and say, you know, grow up here and wake up, we apologize, or we feel guilty, or we're quiet, or we're stifled. So this is all deception, and this does portend the times we are in. And if we think this is bad now, it's not nearly as bad as it's going to get, although the being bereft on the spiritual level has got to be one of the worst things ever to befall mankind.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. But it's by design. I mean, you've got to recognize that, you see, the comments about the other faiths, well, all the other faiths are the same. They are all a distraction from God and the deity of Christ. They all, ultimately, on the esoteric level, I mean, at the highest level, at the inner circles of all of those religions, they are a form of worship of Satan. They are Luciferian. Most of them are really derived from Talmudic, Babylonian principles, Baal worship, in essence. So they are, all of those others are the same, and they're all designed, literally designed, to go against the God of heaven and to replace the God of heaven with Lucifer. Now that's a big statement, and I'm glad I don't have to totally defend that tonight, because you know it would take a lot of reference and a lot of proof, but the proof is there, and it's a big statement I just made. I think you recognize that.
Yeah, I do, and and we should, you know, we should not necessarily defend the whole thing, but to really explain how it is working on every level, the media, entertainment, the things we focus on, government, quote unquote, has become the federal god. The things that we are being taught, the things that our children are being taught. This has all reached a crescendo, it seems. It's all like ball started rolling downhill as a little pebble, and it's gotten to be a huge ball. And we're at the bottom of the hill here, and it's about to mow us over. And it will. And that's why only a few are left after he comes, is the willing deception. And this is what, you know, really bothers me, and why it's so important to have the skills of discernment. I'm not saying that I have them all, but it's just essential. Like Alex Jones today, you know, talking about whether the ambassador was hung or whether he was shot, you know, as the big focus of his discussion. And then in another discussion, talking about how the Department of Homeland Security is saying that the Muslims and Muslim Brotherhood in Iran are forming an axis of evil. Hello? This is coming from the agency that is riddled with Muslim Brotherhood. Same with our White House, and same with our State Department, same with the Justice Department. So, you know, the agents of misinformation, Rush Limbaugh unloads on Obama's foreign policy. You know, it just is way too convenient for me to see all of this coming up, and I want to throw it all out the window and, you know, just focus on God and focus on my relationship with him. And yet we have responsibilities in this world right now, in this time, more than just to witness. We have responsibilities to warn. But when you have all these, you know, people out there are like fear-mongering. And, I mean, that's part of the deception too. And it really requires a lot of discernment, and I'm concerned that there really are very few people who are really going to get this, because we all swallow those, you know, the Alex Joneses and, you know, the other people, the Steve Quayles, and every, we swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And what does it do? It just leaves us in a state of confusion, which is Satan. So,
and that's also by design. I mean, the confusion is they've come at us from so many different directions at this point. I mean, they're so practiced at it over literally centuries of time that they have laid out a plan to totally confuse the general public. I mean, if you look at Thomas Schumann or Yuri Bezmenov is his real name, and his lecture on subversion, you recognize that one of the first things that is done is to destabilize the religious foundation of the society. And so they've laid out all of these various ways in order to confuse the everything. They confuse our terminology. They change the meanings of words. Then they, you know, completely normalize immoral conduct. It's an extensive and such broad system that it's very difficult for the average person to even fathom that it's capable, that anyone's capable of doing what they have done. But when you can totally control all information flow, and you've controlled it for over 100 years, you've literally doubled up on what was happening in the 40 years in the desert, where generations had to pass away. I mean, we've had this propaganda on us from our newspapers, our all of our media, all of our cable, satellites, computer, I mean, you name it, they've been at it for over 100 years, and they control almost 100% of the information flow outside of the alternative media, which is now primarily through the Internet. And so they've done this for not just two generations, but at least five generations. So, I mean, people are so dumbed down that they don't, it's almost impossible to break the denial without somebody really wanting to do that. I mean, once a person tastes the truth and then they start seeking it, there's no turning back. But most people don't ever get to that point. I mean, it's less than 10% of the populace, I think, that gets to that point.
You know, lots of members of my family, in sitting down with them just recently, you know, in a way to sort of, I think, trump me from starting to talk about current situation and where we are, we're ended up saying, well, every generation has thought it was the end times, and, you know, thought the Russians were coming and thought it was the end. So this is just, you know, this is just another thing. I remember my parents sitting down there and getting very worried, and I have to say, you know, well, I saw those statements for what it was. But I also have to say, well, your parents probably knew something that you didn't have any idea what they were saying. And as a consequence, these people are just drifting. They're just drifting. One of this crowd of people, you know, has all the money in the world and, you know, a beautiful home and you know, no worries. And the other is completely impoverished and still feeling the same way. Is this what we have? I guess it is. You're right. Five generations had to pass away. But then I think about the really young kids, the ones just born right now. What are they going to learn from generations of lost people? So who is it, you know, who is it that's going to survive, so to speak? who is it that's going to repopulate this world? I think your analogy of the generations in the desert is correct, because it just is, it feels like that right now. We feel completely lost.
Well, this is why we've been spending so much time on Revolution Radio, trying to rebuild the story of the Republic and of the founding principles. You know, those principles were well known by everyone and passed on from generation to generation 200 and 250 years ago. But at some point, we stopped doing that. People got isolated even from their children. That's another part of the subversion process, is so that the government steps in to educate the kids instead of the parents doing that. And instead of the local community doing that, it's really the federal government that stepped in and restructured things in such a way that they increased the isolation. And they also, even using the judiciary, they started to separate the authority of parents away from children. And it's gotten to the point where the entertainment and the feeding process, if you will, is with a remote control, rather than communicating with other people or communicating with your family or having family time, so that the story is no longer passed from one generation to the other. I've got Red calling me on the other line here.
Go ahead and get that line, and I'll fill in here.
I hit ignore because I think it's important what I'm trying to say. This is really an important thing. We've stopped reproducing ourselves from one generation to the next. And as a result of that, we've lost the lessons of history.
We have. And you can see that the members of Congress right now are exactly that generation of people who were educated to forget, such that there's no consciousness of this. It's people in power right now have no consciousness of our republic. None whatsoever. And, you know, you look at John Kerry, for example. Look at these people. They were the ones who were, you know, in the 60s, educated in the 60s and then the 70s. And it's just unbelievable. And I find very, very, very few people, you know, on my blog or anywhere else who really, truly understand where we're going. And it is seeking the truth of understanding these things. And, you know, every now and then you think, oh, somebody's really getting it, and then they don't. And it's darn frustrating. And that's why I think this idea of a CD and maybe we've got to rebuild in that lesson about rebuilding the lessons of the Republic. Maybe we've got to include that as well in, you know, the 9 or 7 parts that we've been talking about.
Well, see, even the whole concept of the militia. The militia was well regulated, and that is that the people were trained to protect themselves and each other in their community. The militia was not some radical band of people out there like they've again taken that term and changed the meaning of that term to demonize it, because they know that if the people are well regulated in their organization to protect themselves and guard themselves, then no, you know, outside power like some, you know, Luciferian group can take control of the world, because they can't even take control of a single community, because those communities are set up to sustain themselves and to protect themselves. So, you know, that's why the Second Amendment is not specifically about individual gun ownership rights as much as it is about the well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. That's what the Second Amendment is really about, and the fact that people should have an unalienable right to bear arms to protect themselves, not just as individuals, but as a community. And this is specifically set up because our founders had to fight a standing army. And now we've got a standing army and no militia, and there's no way to resist that tyranny unless we really have a civil war. And, you know, peace through strength applies to a state within a republic gone bad that's become a democracy that's more of an oligarchy. A dualocracy is really the correct term.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm saying a lot and passing over some concepts that probably need to be dealt with on an individual basis, but the fact of the matter is that this family concept, this passing of the message down from generation to generation, the lessons of history, would not be disrupted and subverted if we still had our well-regulated militias in place, because those lessons would be taught as a part of family, community, and as a part of the militia. Our young people would be brought up in an environment recognizing their responsibilities to the other people in their community around them if we still had that situation. And there wouldn't be a matter of drafting them into military, because they would all be a part of that organization already, automatically, because they would actually be a part of that militia. Do you see what I mean?
I do. And what you would also then have would be churches that would be part of that as well. And
well, that's where the whole colonial militia was organized, was through the churches.
Through the churches. And so now in state government, in judiciary, the lawyers, the churches, in our own communities, we have none of that. So we are a ship completely adrift right now. And, you know, we can see the dangers here and there and focus on various different laws, but it's all a diversion from the much larger thing that we have lost. And this is, you know, whether it is, you know, within years of his coming or not, this is the end times. This is the end of, you know, our memories have been wiped clean.
If it's not, then there's an awful lot of indications that it is. And I certainly believe that there's good merit to believe that we are in those end times. Well, you know, to say that it's going to happen on some certain date is just about absurd, because what we will know if we are watchful, as we are instructed to be watchful, we'll know it when it's here, but to try to predict it before that is folly.
It is. And I have, you know, as you know, I've thrown out all this stuff about being prepared and so forth and so on. And, you know, here I ended up talking with Erlene today. And by the way, Red just tried to call me too, so the next time he calls you, make sure you answer. about how they're preparing. I mean, they are concerned about food and where we're going to go. And I just decided this afternoon, and I haven't asked Red or Orlean, but I was going to say, listen, would you mind if times come if I just drove right up to your house? You know, I'll pitch my tent in the backyard. I'll do whatever I can to participate, because
I'm going to mute for a moment and call them.
Okay, very good. All right, I'm going to put on a little bit of music and come on back, okay? Okay, everyone, we've got, I'm going to put on a couple of, another song here, and it's a familiar one to you, but just hang in there for a second, and we'll see if we can get Red Beckman on the line with us this evening. Here we go.
Look for a man. is right. I said, be careful, his bow tie is really a camera. Tossing a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. We smoked the last one an hour ago. So I looked at the scenery. She read her magazine, and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know. Cause on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America.
Welcome back to Revolution Radio. Terry, are you there?
I am here, Dr. Gates.
Wonderful. And do we have Red Beckman there?
I'm present, but not accounted for.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, Terry, you want to brief Red a little bit about what we've been talking about, or would you like me to do that?
Well, Kate's been going through some comments that have been made. Aren't they specific quotes from Obama?
Yes, about Islam.
Some of them are things like, Islam has always been a part of America. And one of the things that we brought out is how unforgiving it is and intolerant it is. And this country was based partially on religious freedom. And Islam stands in direct opposition to those principles. Go ahead, Kate. You can enlighten beyond that.
Yeah, and we were just, before you came on and before the break, we were just talking about the how those statements are designed to dilute the Republic, the founding of the Republic, and our principles, and how where we were just talking about the militia, as a matter of fact, and the churches, not from necessarily the great falling away, but the fact that we are bereft and adrift as a nation because we have forgotten those principles, and they have not been passed on from generation to generation. And in part because the government took over the education system, because the churches have not been there, because the judiciary didn't live up to its promise. And we were remarking on how few of us there are who are seeking the truth and who understand our republic. Terry had a great analogy to how, you know, the years in the wilderness, in the desert, with Moses, almost five generations of people had to perish before, you know, the one or two people were came forward who really remembered. And that is where we are right now. We've just been talking about just how bereft we are of our understanding. That's why we're adrift. That's why all these diversions and distractions and you know, the issue of Islam and the brotherhood, of course, with the events of the last few days, the last couple of days in particular, and how America, our leaders, are still apologizing for who we are as Americans. So I think I was getting to the point where I was just so frustrated because there are so few. And where are we going to find those individuals who are seeking the truth and who understand this? I was remarking that members of my family sitting around the table with them a few weeks ago just said, oh, well, you know, every generation has thought it's been the end and that the end times are here and so forth and so on. And it's just, you know, every generation feels that way. As if there were just no consciousness right now of the signs that are here. So I think, I don't know, Terry. I don't know where we go from here, except I sort of can't wait till tomorrow night's discussion.
Well, there's a lot of places we could go from here. If you want to possibly look back at some more of those comments from Obama and bring them out and let Red and I comment on them one by one. I didn't hear them from the beginning. You might want to go back and give the first two or three.
Yeah, here are 10 quotes by Barack Obama about Islam. Number one, Islam has always been a part of America. Number two, we will encourage more Americans to study in Muslim communities.
Well, here's in my mind, that's a treason. That's a treasonous statement.
Mm-hmm.
I find that to be treasonous. I find that justification for impeachment. I find that to be justification for deportation, because it is, in fact, putting the state in our religion.
That's
it
correct.
It is a failure to separate church and state in the manner in which it was intended.
Mm-hmm. Here's a third quote that what we were talking about. These rituals remind us of the principles that we hold in common and Islam's role in advancing justice, progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings.
That is pure propaganda and lies. Every part of that is so wrong. Tolerant. Tolerant of what?
A dignity of all human beings?
Seriously, tell me what Islam is tolerant of. I don't know anything it's tolerant of.
Nothing, completely intolerant. And, you know, this latest round of murder was supposedly inspired by a film made by an American that was denigrating Muhammad. And there is no tolerance, as you said, for any different opinion. So here's the one that we were focusing on. Number four, America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles of justice and progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings.
Well, I didn't completely finish my thought on that before, and that
mm-hmm.
is that, is that our country is not in competition with any religion. But that particular religion is in competition with our founding principles and the whole concept of religious freedom. So it's Islam that's in competition, not our country. He's correct that our country is not in competition. But we are protecting all of the other faiths against the likes of Islam.
Yeah, well, he sets it up as a country versus a religion, America and Islam.
It's not even an appropriate comparison.
That's correct, you know. And, of course, he didn't say Christianity and Islam, because they are exclusive. Both of those two are exclusive. So... here.
Red, are you up for making any comment on any of those?
Well, you know, the first thing I thought when I heard about what happened in Libya, the first thing I thought is, hey, this is what we've been talking about. When we see these things happening, look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. These are things Obama, these comments that he makes about Muslims being a part of America from the very beginning, this is such a lie. It's just unbelievable that anyone would make such a statement. There's something that just does not add up. And I think that we need to identify a difference between Christianity and Islam at this point. We need to keep it in mind at all times. And that is that Christianity is not just a belief system. It's a no system. The blind who were healed in Christ's day, that wasn't a belief situation at all. They knew that there had been a miracle, and they gave God the credit. In Islam, they have nothing like this. It's all belief. It's all belief. There is nothing of fact. There's no substance there that they can put their finger on and say, well, now this is what Muslim or Islam, Mohammedanism, can do for you. And it's just, we've got a whole world that is being, Satan is the god of confusion. We have to keep that in mind. And how better to confuse people than to have all these different belief systems? No truth backing them up, just somebody what somebody told you. This is my problem with Mormonism. I've told Mormons for years when they try to tell me how great Mormonism is, I say, well, you know, you're telling me that Joseph Smith had these golden tablets. When you show me the golden tablets, then I'll have a good reason to investigate a little more. But until I see something a little more solid than just belief, somebody telling me Joseph Smith was no angel, I can assure you of that. Historically, he became a Mason, and they made him a 33rd degree, I think, in one day or something like that. I don't remember all that. But, it's just the difference between believing and knowing. And of course, we can't stress it enough amongst our Christian friends and such, that we need to be praying that prayer, even so come Lord Jesus. And when we see all this confusion coming out and recognizing it, that this is what a resurrected Christ was talking about in Matthew 24, you know, times are going to get bad. I mean, there's going to be a lot of problems on this planet, the worst we'd ever seen on this planet. And he promised that the Father would shorten the time if it got too bad to where the enemy was trying to, the Agenda 21 people were trying to get rid of 6 billion people on the planet. And this type of thing, let's really work at disciplining ourselves when we see these things happening like happened in Libya. Let's look up and let's be optimistic, because we have every reason in the world to be optimistic. And, you know, how many other religions are there besides Islam that is just a belief system? And not knowing anything, but believing. And boy, what a trap that can be. So that's about all I have to say. I think you are talking about things that need to be talked about, and I'm glad you're doing that. I'm not up to par. My voice is not working right, so.
We'll take you even at 60%, okay?
Absolutely.
I feel more like about 10 or 20% right now. So, have a good run, and we'll hope and look forward for tomorrow. Walls in our minds. So,
Kate, we've only got about 3 minutes left. Kate, how would you like to close this out?
Terry, I would really, really enjoy it if you could close us out in prayer.
We can do that.
Thank you. And thank you, Red, very much for joining us this evening.
Well, Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Some called him then Jesus or Yeshua. And we know him as our Messiah, the Christ, the one and only Son of God, the only begotten Son. We know him as the one who paid the price for all of us to be able to be reconciled with you. Father, we look and we try to figure out what's wrong with our society, with our country, with our churches. And we look to you for those answers. We look at your scripture. We look at your word. We look at your truth. And we see how we have not done such a good job of subduing and of guarding the true gospel. And Father, we as a country know that we have, as a group, turned our backs on you. And this small band is here speaking to you now. We simply turn our face to you, and we seek your face. We seek your word. We seek your mercy. We seek your teachings. We want you to take control. We want you to guard us so that we can do your will here on earth as it is in heaven. And we recognize, we acknowledge that we need to stop serving self and serve those things that you have told us to serve others, to acknowledge the freedom of others, but also to show them the right path. And Father, we have this desire to turn this country around. We have the desire to teach others the truth about the founding principles, and that they were based on your truth and your principles. So we ask you to go before us. We ask you to show us the way that you would have us go, and to identify those people who have ears to hear your truth, that want you to be at the top of the pecking order. Thank you, Red, for teaching us about the pecking order and the fact that it's so important for God to be at the top of that pecking order. And Father, in that way, we wish to glorify you this night and every day to make certain that we keep you at the top of that order, because that's where you belong. And it's the only way that we can truly have any respect for our unalienable rights, or if they are granted by you, for if they are granted by any document or any codification or any government, then they are not unalienable. They can be assigned. They can be taken away. They can be removed. Only if you have given them to us can we keep them without any reservation. So we acknowledge you, Father, as the creator and the source of our unalienable rights. And we ask you to help us to subdue. We ask you to help us to teach others. And we ask you to guard those rights for us and protect us from all of the tyranny that is going on in the world. We ask you to be with those people who are being tyrannized, that are being murdered for belief in you, for their knowledge of you, for their knowledge of your truth. We ask for protection. We just ask you to not tempt us, Father, that we not be tempted by Satan or his minions, that we're able to take a stand and fear nothing in this world, for we recognize that what is really important, truly important, is eternal. And you are the source of that sustenance that will sustain us eternally. And we acknowledge you for that. And we're just thankful for the gift that you've given us through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Terry. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow night on Walls in Our Minds. Good night.
Good night.